I was supposed to be gone. Matter of fact, I was supposed to be filling in for another pastor, and I was not going to be here last Sunday and this Sunday, and we had preparations for the preaching, and then folks made it possible for their pastor to go, their pastor and his wife to go to Israel on a trip. And so things changed, and so I told Pastor I'd be here, and I said, I've got these sermons, and I've got them, and I haven't been able to preach them. I've got about five of them. And since the pastor doesn't let me preach very often, you're going to get them all. Oh, not really. But last Sunday of the year, I've entitled this 2020 Vision. Okay? 2020 Vision. How many of you have visual problems? Okay? And there's quite a few. We all have visual problems. I've had them ever since I don't know when. Matter of fact, pictures of me when I was a little baby showed I had problems with my eyes. I got into trouble when I was in kindergarten. As a matter of fact, I got kicked out of kindergarten three times. Can you believe that? Three times in kindergarten. I got suspended. The last time they suspended me for a week in kindergarten. And it was because I couldn't see. I couldn't see what was going on. My visual was very limited. I have 20/400, I think is what they said. They said, read the chart on the wall, and I always ask them, what wall? And they went and, of course, checked my eyes, and they said, yep, he needs glasses. And so I've had to have my glasses practically all my life, ever since first grade. And so I know what it's like. 2020, when they say it's 2020, and given your eyes, it means that you can see a 20 millimeter character 20 centimeters away or something like that. It's the distance away and the size, and you can see it, and you can see it, and it's 2020. And they mark that as having perfect vision. Okay? So if you don't have 20/20 and it's like 20/100, 20/200, 20/300, or in my case 20/400, it means that you have to have a number about that big and be within 10 feet of it to be able to see it. And your visual's not clear. And so I was thinking about what to preach, and believe it or not, the message has changed three times already, and that I was going to preach. But this really came to me. We're going into 2020. Can you believe that? 2020. I never thought we'd get this far. Matter of fact, I was ready for the rapture 40 years ago. And, I never thought we'd get this far. I never dreamed I'd even get into my 60s. I figured I wouldn't even get 50 years of age. Probably 40, and then that would be it, and it'd be all over with, and we'll be with the Lord. And it didn't happen. We're still hanging in there. But here we are, we're going up to 2020. It wouldn't be good. And to get the idea of 2020 vision, we need to have perfect vision when we're getting into this year. Amen? We need to have the proper vision. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scripture. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Chapter number 20. Now, the Apostle Paul has been preaching. He's been in the ministry, and he's been teaching people, and he's about ready to leave a group of people on his way to Jerusalem, and he's never going to see them again. Okay? And he's been serving the Lord. In verse number 19, he says he's serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation. Befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing. Verse number 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, that repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And then down in verse number 24, it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Heavenly Father, we just ask now for the next few moments that you might bless us, open up our eyes, Heavenly Father, and our hearts. Help be a blessing to these folks. May your word, Heavenly Father, reach into our hearts. Help us to see that we need a good vision for 2020 of what you can do. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is telling these folks, listen, I've not withheld from you. In verse number 20, he says, I've not kept back anything that was good for you. Now see, that's a good thing. We've got a pastor like that. Okay, amen? You can say amen. That's okay. All right. We have a pastor that back who doesn't keep back anything that's profitable unto us. The Word of God tells us in Timothy that the Word of God is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We have God's Word, and God's Word needs to be preached. That's one of the things that we need to see in 2020 is a continuation of the preaching of the Word of God because it's profitable to us. We need it. It encourages us as believers. Every time we meet together and we hear the Word of God either taught or preached, it should have an effect on our hearts. It should strengthen us and make us stronger in the Lord and give us a greater desire to serve Him. It's called feeding the flock. And we need to be fed on a regular basis out of the Word of God. And he says, I've not kept back anything that's profitable unto you. It says, I've shown you, I've taught you publicly, I've preached to you, we've went from house to house, and the message that we have, and the message that we've had in the past, this church has had in the past, and that our pastors had in the past, and hopefully for 2020 it's going to continue with the same thing, the message that there needs to be repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message. Many churches today, you know, are changing the message, and they're getting more into the social, you know, to the social gospel and helping people out. And that's a good thing to help people out. We need to help people out. We need to do something for the homeless and try to help them. And when people are in need, we're told we're to do that. But the message that this church and that you and I as believers need to get out every time we get the opportunity is not that, hey, we want to feed the poor, not that we want to change our government, not that we need a new president or an old president or anything. The message that you and I need to get out is that there needs to be repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that lasts. Societies don't last for long. As a matter of fact, if you are a student of history, you would see that civilizations have come and gone. As a matter of fact, the United States is very unique, and we could get into a long message on that. Our country is very unique. Because we have lasted over 200 years, 250 years, I think it is now, that we have been consistent in that. It looks like there's people that's trying to tear that down now and rip it apart. We don't know if that's going to happen. That's in the hands of God. But we're very unique. We're a very unique nation. And nations come and go. Styles come and go. Amen? They change. I remember. How many of you remember when it was the style, when you went to church, you had a white shirt and a skinny black tie? You have anybody that remember that? That was the style for guys, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, that time went long. Before long, we had colored shirts and big old fat ties. How many of you remember them? Yeah, okay. I'm glad it's got back down to being something at least, you know, conservative now. But style... Yeah, you know I've got my lights on. I got this from Pastor, by the way. This is conservative compared to some of the other ties I have, by the way. Okay. Styles change. You know, the ladies' styles, you know, have changed down through the years. Okay. Styles change. Hairstyles change. Okay? Used to be, you know, everything was, you know, cut back, flat top, and, you know, kind of butched off, and then it got a little bit bigger and a little bit, and you really, how many of you, guys, how many of you remember when the style was, you know, you had a little bit of hair going over your ear, you know, just a little bit, you know, and it was kind of fluffy, you know, we got that. Then they had the style where, you know, oh boy, I won't even go into that. Hairstyles change. Things change. But one thing does not change, and that's the need for salvation. Sin is still sin. What the Bible says is sin is still sin, and I don't care what legislature gets up and what laws they make. When the Bible says it's a sin to commit adultery, it's a sin to commit adultery. When the Bible says drunkenness is a sin, it's still a sin. Drunkenness is still a sin. When the Bible says that murdering an infant is sin, it's still sin, no matter what the legislatures say. And that needs, in 2020, we still need to preach that message, that God has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He says, I am God, I change not. And we need to keep preaching that. 2020 vision is, we see that that's important, that people still need to get saved. They still need salvation. Well, we go on with that thought in mind. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse number 18, the verse says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that kept the law, happy is he. And that's what we're going to, a little bit, this is all introduction, but that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. Where there is no 2020 vision, where there is no vision, people will perish. When we do not see people needing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will perish, and we will too. I believe that down through the ages, I believe that churches have gone and they've closed their doors because they lost a vision of what God sees humanity as. They've lost that vision, and we don't want to lose that vision. So here are some of the things we need to see. First of all, we need to have a vision of the lost and dying. The lost and dying. In Revelation, turn with me please to Revelation 20. A lot of 20s in this. Revelation 20. Pastor alluded to this last Sunday, but in verse number 12 he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse number 15 it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We need to see the lost and dying. The Bible tells us that without Christ, there is no hope. In John, the first chapter, verse number 1 through 12, if we read that, it says that, you know, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. He came, and He became flesh, and those that would receive Him would have life, and those that would not receive Him have eternal death. We need to see that. I think we've gotten away from that. I know I have. I've gotten kind of callous, you know, when I go out. And I haven't seen them as God sees them. Listen, folks that are walking around, neighbors and friends and family and even strangers, without Jesus Christ, they're lost and they're on their way. They're going to die and they're going to split hell wide open. And that's Bible. And we need to see that. We need to see that they're lost in their self, that the system that they, the social system that we have, that they're lost in that they're lost in their sin. John 3:16, a beautiful one. Turn with me on John 3:16. We know most of that. Matter of fact, you could probably quote that one. How many of you can quote John 3:16? Okay, let's quote it. Don't even read it. I'm 16:3. I'm getting dyslexia, I guess. I'm looking at it backwards here. 3:16. We can say that one. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, notice He says He loved the world. He loves this world. Now, He's not talking about the rocks and the grass and the trees and the flowers and the weeds. He's not talking about that. He's talking about you and me and every other walking soul that's out there. Okay? He's talking about our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones and our family. He loves them. And He gave His Son. And it says that He gave His Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish. We need to kind of dissect that sentence. If they don't believe in Jesus, what happens to them? What happens? They perish. Those that believe in Jesus have life. Those that don't believe perish. Well, let's read on. It says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. Now, we quote John 3:16, but we don't look at 17 and 18. It says that God, it says, He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent Him that they might be saved, because He loves them. He loves you. He loves you even if your mother doesn't love you. Now, you know, mothers love their sons and daughters, you know. But He loved, you know, but, and sometimes we love you too when you're nice and you're good to us and you do exactly what we tell you to. We love you too. But when you're a low down dirty sneak stinker and you do things that you know you're not supposed to do and you raise your fist to God and say, "You're not going to tell me what to do," God still loves you. Amen? He still loves you. He still loves those that curse God's name. He still loves them. He loves those that have a wicked heart. He still loves them. And the love was so great, He sent His Son. I hardly ever post anything on Facebook. I just don't do that. I read it. So when you post things, I read what you say. I just don't post things because I get all confused about it. I'm the computer guy and I get confused with Facebook. Can you believe that? But I posted on there, the greatest gift ever given was the gift of God's Son to mankind. Amen. That's the greatest gift. And we need to get a vision of folks that haven't received that gift. Because if they haven't believed on the name of Jesus Christ, they're already condemned. They're already condemned and in the process of dying. And death, there's a finality there. You know that, and I know that. When we have a loved one, that dies, that's the end of our fellowship here. But a person who dies without Jesus Christ, they have all eternity to spend in hell, separated from the love of God and separated from us. We need to see them. We need to see the lost and dying. We need to have a vision of the lake that's eternal. Did you know that Jesus preached more about hell than He did about anything else? It says here, that we read in the book of the Revelation, it says, "Those that were not found in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire." The Bible tells us that it's eternal. Revelation 14:11 says that it's forever and ever. It doesn't end. We need to have a vision of that. Because our friends and our loved ones and our neighbors and even the ones that aren't friends, just the passerby, the guy on the street that's standing out, you know, waiting to get on the freeway and he's holding a sign, okay? He needs Jesus Christ too. You know what I started doing? And I don't try to pat myself on the back. What I started doing, I carry some tracts in my car, and I put a dollar bill in the stack of those tracts. And when I see somebody and I'm prompted of the Lord, I give them a gospel tract with a dollar. And it says, "There's a dollar there for you, but you got to read this first." Because a dollar's not going to help them out unless they read that tract and get saved. And at least if they've got a dollar, they've got something out of it. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will take that dollar and say, "Well, okay, I'll read this." And just maybe they'll read that and they'll see what it says about salvation. And maybe they get saved. I don't know. I find out when I get to heaven someday, maybe there'll be some folks there because I stopped and gave them a gospel with a dollar in it. Because I don't want them to go to the lake of fire. Turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. A very famous event that Jesus told. And Jesus told a lot of parables. This is not a parable. Okay? This is not a parable because he names names. Starting in verse number 19 of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my brother's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, neither, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And I'm telling you, one rose from the dead and had the message. And those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ will spend eternity in the lake of fire. They'll be just like this one I hear. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the one thought on their mind is, if I could just have a moment of pleasure. And another thing on their mind would be, if somebody would just tell my brother, tell those that are left behind, so that they can repent and be saved, so that they won't come to this place. And my friends, we need to have a vision of that, because it's a real place. Jesus talked about it in Mark. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. Another instance. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 43. Jesus is talking about hell. First, he talks about offending the little ones, the children. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for them that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands and go to hell. Whoa. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Wow. Jesus, as he's given this discourse, he said, listen, if your hand's offending you, if your hand is stopping you from believing, cut it off. It'd be better to be cut off than to be cast into hell, because the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And the worm is an allusion to the soul. It's equated with the soul. It says, where it does not die. He says, if your foot stops you from believing, cut it off. It'd be better for you to go maimed into this lifetime than to be cast into the hell with both feet where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies and there's no rest. He says, if your eye is offending you, that's the eye is stopping you from trusting Christ as Savior, pluck it out. For it's better for you to go with one eye than it is to have both eyes and be thrown into hell because of unbelief, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, and the torment is forever and ever and ever. And the book of Revelation tells us that it's forever and ever and ever. And folks, in 2020, we need to get a vision of that. We need to see where lost sinners are going. And it needs to tear our hearts apart so that we will be a witness like we're supposed to be. We need to get a vision of the lost. We need to get a vision of the lake of fire as it's eternal, so that it will move us to be the testimonies and the witnesses we're supposed to be. Jesus talks about, you're the salt. You're the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to flavor the earth, but we're supposed to be an irritant and a preserver. And he says, when salt's no longer doing its job, it's worth nothing but thrown out on the street. And friends, I'm afraid that Christianity is beginning to be salt that is no longer salt. And in 2020, we need to say, God, we need some flavoring, and I need to be part of it. I need to see people who are lost. I need to see where they're going and realize the lake of fire is real. But you know something? We also need to have a vision of the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that was slain. A vision of the Lamb that was slain. Turn to John, again, a Gospel of John, chapter number 1. John the Baptist was out and preaching. John the Baptist, now if you know your Bible history, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He was 6 months older, and he was a preacher. And he preached, and it says that he preached to the folks to repent because the Savior was coming. Verse number 26, and said, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth the one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, he could have said, hey, there's my cousin. There he is. That's my cousin over there. He's going to be a preacher too. But he didn't say that. He says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And we need to see him as that. We need to see him as the Lamb of God, the Son of God. You know, at this time we sing the Christmas songs. And I love a lot of those songs a lot. You know, you could take, Pastor, you and I know we could take some of those hymns and we could preach out of them. Because some of them really have a lot of doctrine in there. But you know, most of the time we think of him as a little baby. And he was. That's during this period of time. This is when we celebrate his birth. We know historically he probably wasn't born in December. He's probably born in March or April. But this is the time that we recognize that, his birth. And we just see him as a baby. But folks, we need to see him beyond that. We need to see him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Because he came to die. Okay? He came to die. And in John chapter number 1, we're told that. Verse number 29. Okay? He says he takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I've said after me cometh a man which preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay? He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. And we need to see Him as such. We need to see Him in the garden, praying, "Not my will," in Luke, the 22nd chapter. He was praying. He knew where He was going. He knew that just in a short period of time, He was going to be nailed to a cross. And He was going to shed His blood for you and for me. And He prayed, "Father, take this cup from me if it's possible. But if it's not possible, let Your will be done." We need to see Him in the garden. We need to see Him in the streets bearing our sorrows as He walked down the Via Dolorosa with the cross after He'd been beaten, after He'd been mocked. We need to see that. We need to see Him as Isaiah saw Him in Isaiah 53. Let me read it to you. Isaiah saw Him. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall be divided the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for their transgressions." Quite a picture that Isaiah saw, but we need to get that picture too. It's one thing to just sing about the birth of Jesus Christ, but it's another thing to see what He did, how He bore our sorrows. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was chastised for us. Everything that we just read in Isaiah, He did for us. And we need to see that. In 2020, we need to get the vision of what our Lord and Savior did for us and all mankind. But we also need to see the empty tomb. We see Him preaching liberty and victory. We need to see Him in the clouds coming for His own. We need to see Him on the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to get a vision of who Jesus Christ is. When we get a vision of the lost, and we get a vision of the lake of fire, and we get a vision of the Lamb and who He is, it might just change our ministry in this church. Wouldn't that be something? We might start saying, "Hey, I need to be in church every Sunday." We might just start saying, "I need to come to church on Sunday night." We might just start saying, "I need to be in prayer meetings, start praying for these folks." We might start saying, "I need to come at least once a month to go out on visitation and hand out the gospel tract to somebody. Maybe if I go out and I understand that they're maybe lost and that they may be going to a lake of fire, and that the Lamb of God paid all the price for it. Maybe, just maybe, I'll hand out a gospel tract. My heart will be broken, and maybe he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And souls might be get saved, and we might begin to see people walking down the aisle once again. We might begin to see the baptismal waters being stirred a little more often than what they've been stirred. We might see a change in our church if we got the right vision. Do I hear an amen? Amen, preacher! We also need to get a vision of the life to come. The life to come. Hey, listen, folks. This isn't all there is. We're just pilgrims passing through. We've got something greater on the horizon. A vision of life to come. Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. We won't be much longer because this is the last point. Of course, I could go four or five subpoints on this. John, as he's sitting on the island of Patmos, exiled because of his preaching of the gospel, and God gives him the vision of things to come. And he sees the tribulation of this world. And he sees the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse chapter number 21, he says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcome shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hey, listen. There's a better day coming. Like I mentioned before, when I was a young believer and preacher would get up and preach about these things, I got all excited about it. Well, hey, this is awesome. We got to Thessalonians when it's talked about for a moment in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain. You know, I got to envision that. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. One of these days, I'm going to hear, and all of a sudden all the dead's going to rise, and I'm going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and I'm going to rise up to be with the Lord. I thought, man, that's coming soon. Didn't come. But you know something? It's still coming. It's still coming. We don't know exactly when, but listen, it's a lot closer now than it was 40 years ago. Amen? It might not come this year. Now, wouldn't that be something? On the last day of the year, and we're in the house of God, praying and reading His Word, wouldn't it be awesome? Awesome if we heard the trumpet sound and we were changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I'd rather be caught there than be caught in a bar getting drunk because it's the last day of the year. How about you? I'd rather be in the house of the Lord with other believers. Whew, amen. Wouldn't that be something? But it might not happen. It might not happen in our lifetime. Because let's face it, most of us in this room, I mean, we're getting closer and closer. Don't say amen on that, please. But we're getting closer and closer. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen. The day is coming. when the Lord's coming back. And we need to get a vision of that day. So that when we get a vision of that day, we keep ourselves pure, we keep ourselves clean, we keep ourselves watching and waiting and serving. So that when that day comes, we'll not be ashamed. Notice what it said, what he said here. It says, life without death. Looking forward to that time when we'll no longer be separated from our loved ones and our friends. Life without pain. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you wake up in the morning, and that's one of the things that lets you know that you're still alive, is there's pain. That pain in the knees, and pain in the hips, and pain in the shoulders. I try to be a pain in that. I try to be a pain to other people too. But life without death or pain. Life without sin or stain. Looking forward to the time I won't have to... You know, we were talking about, in our Sunday school class, we were talking about the fact that we have a sinful nature, and it's still there. But when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we have a divine nature, and it's there. And the two fight against each other. The Apostle Paul talked about it in the book of Romans. He said, the things I should do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I should do. And there's a big battle there all the time. We talked about that. We talked about it. We have that battle. Okay, constant battle, constant going back and forth. The flesh wants to do something, but the spirit wants to do something. And sometimes they're just, you know, there's that conflict. And the one that wins is the one that I feed the most. If I feed the flesh the most, I'm going to do what the flesh wants to do. But if I feed the spiritual the most, I'm going to do what the spiritual wants to do. We have that. But praise God, there's coming a day when we won't have that battle anymore. We won't have that battle at all because that sinful nature will be removed. It will be gone. Praise God. Glory be to Him. We need to look forward to that day. Life with hell to lose, life with heaven to gain. And we need to catch a vision of that. We need to catch a vision of that. Now folks, 2020, we're coming up to the 20th century, 20th year, and we need to have 2020 vision concerning these things. The lost, the lake, the lamb, and the life. I don't know about you, but this coming year, I'm going to be rededicating my life to service the Lord. Time is getting short. Like I said, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I also don't know when the Lord's going to take me. In 2 years, I will have reached my biblical age, 70. If I make it beyond that, it's just whipped cream on top. It's just extra. I don't know how long. You know, the lifespan is getting longer and longer and longer. My mother, my biological mother, just passed away a month ago, and she was 88. So in my genes, I do have up into the 80s, and if the Lord allows me to live that long, that means I only have about 20 years. If I make it to 90, that means that, you know, I got 20 years. If I make it to 100, which I doubt, but if I did, I only have 100. Our sister, she's going to be living very carefully now so that she can maybe make it to that 100 mark. But the point is, I need to dedicate what life I have left, what strength I have left, and it's not much. I used to be able to work 16 hours a day and it wouldn't even faze me. Now if I put in 4, I'm wasted for 3 days. Of course, I used to be a lot thinner. Pray for me. I'm going to try to lose 15 pounds. I've got 6 months to do it in. Okay. Pray that I'll be able to have enough self-discipline to do that. But what time I have left, I want it to be like the Apostle Paul. I've run a race. I finished my course. I've given glory to God. I've ended strong, and I want to end strong. Whether the trumpet sounds or I have to meet the undertaker, either way, I want to end strong. I want a 2020 vision for 2020. I want to get back to where I can be strong for the Lord. How about you? How about you? There's a couple of poems that I ran across I thought was good. For those that are unsaved or uncertain of your salvation, it's called "The Spirit Says Come." No death and no sorrow, no sin with its pain. We have nothing to lose and heaven to gain. The trumpet will sound. He'll take us right out. Glory to God! We'll sing and we'll shout. Behold, He comes quickly. The day is not far when we shall behold the bright morning star. You that are thirsty, the Spirit says, come for life-giving water from God's only Son. The Spirit is wanting, oh, don't you see, to give you life abundant and free. The Savior is calling, friend. Don't put it off, lest in heaven you're missing and found with the lost. If you're here today and you've never truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I urge you, don't put it off. Because life is uncertain. You may go out this New Year's Eve and go out someplace and be killed by a drunk driver. It happens. Every New Year's Eve, it happens. Your heart may stop at any time. It may happen. You say, well, I'm still rather young. That doesn't make a difference. At Victory Christian School, there's a plaque in the very front of Victory Christian Schools on the lawn. It's a little clock track about this big. And there was a young girl, I think she was 14, 15, 12, younger than I thought, was out on the playground and she dropped. And she died. 12 years old. It could happen to any one of us in this room. This could be the last day on earth. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this would be the last chance that you would have to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Won't you trust Him today? Won't you put that behind you? At least call out to God and trust the saving power of Jesus Christ and let Him give you life and give you hope. For the Christian or the unconcerned Christian, win the lost at any cost. This is a song, really. It says, souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Try to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Go out and win. Rescue from sin. Day's almost done. Low sinks the sun. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.